Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen, to the Bromuda Triangle Podcast. Today we'll be discussing Jeremy's triumphant return, more dick talk, actually a lot of dick talk, and eating dried fish. Those two aren't related. Airbnbs, Jeremy's weird travel learns, our own travels, and random awkward holidays with family. All right, ladies and gentlemen, prepare to enter the Bromuda Triangle.
All right, everyone. We're back. We're here. This is the Bromuda Triangle. Nice name change.
Shut up, Jeremy.
Nice name change, by the way.
So, as you guys...
The power struggle begins.
I know. As you guys can hear, we're back as a furious threesome. Just
we are once again complete.
Three dicks going at it. And for those wondering where the hell our third trifecta has been, Jeremy is back from the Europeans.
I'm back. And I'm cultured as shit.
Yeah. So he's coming back to realize that we have changed our name to the Bromuda Triangle.
You guys, yeah, I like this name change. I wasn't a fan at first, I'll be honest with you, because I kind of had to come to terms with the fact that I am now involved with something that is affiliated with bro culture, which I just...
That's you. Yeah. You're the epitome of bro culture.
I still refuse to believe that, and
It's a very bro thing to say right there.
You know what sold it for me was the tagline, and I don't even know if it's an official tagline, but I was like, Bromuda Triangle? Like, here's the train of thought when I heard the new name. Is I was like, Bromuda Triangle, fuck, it's got the word bro in it. Shit, it's actually pretty clever. And then I saw the, like, get lost in conversation thing, and I was like, these fucking guys, that's clever.
That was pretty good.
That's clever as shit.
That's what sold me on it as well. I like the name, but that's what sold me as well.
I don't know what happened, but while I was gone, you guys got like awesome guest speakers and decided to get a little bit professional in your editing. So like, and like realistically.
Oh, that just got taken out of my hands.
Realistically, I realized like, I don't even need to be a part of this. I've been on as many podcasts that have been posted online as I haven't. I've been on two podcasts that have been posted. You've had two episodes with guest hosts. Like, as far as people are concerned, I'm just a reoccurring guest at this point. So,
no, you're jumping back into the lead here. You'll be fine.
Good. But no,
unless I mean, it we can take it to the social medias at Bromuda Tripod.
That's true.
And really see what people are feeling.
Yeah, you could get. I mean, Sandor and Phil were both exceptional guest hosts. I did feel threatened, slightly threatened. I did tune out the sports episode just because I don't give a shit about sports. I'll be honest with you guys. Do not give a shit. So I'm glad you guys got that out of the way while I was gone because...
Yeah, because one episode just covered everything.
I was listening to that episode.
That's going
to
be everything.
Everything you guys described that you hated about sports fans, that's me. Like, fair weather to a T. Like, I rep the shit out of whoever is winning Bay Area. I'm the guy, like, when you're like, fair weather fans fucking suck. I'm like the guy who's like, it doesn't matter. It's just about the Bay coming together and celebrating a win. Like, that's me.
You're the guy with the split jersey on that you're
exactly.
Like, yeah.
That's me to a T. And Phil, I still don't know what the fuck that guy does. Like,
nobody does.
I love him to death.
Nobody does.
What does, like, that was like, he should be a politician because he's like reverse Donald Trumping this shit right now. Like, Donald Trump doesn't give people a chance to speak. Phil just talks and talks and talks, but like just about what everybody around him does and not at all about what he does. So that was.
I even tried to call him out on it for being so vague, and he just burned through it. So this isn't vague. This is. Blah, 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 blah.
The beauty that Phil does is he'll just talk and talk and sounds so just believable that you buy into everything that he says.
It
gets to the point where he just very slightly changes the subject, and then you just run
absolutely.
With it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or sometimes very bluntly by just talking. He goes to dick talk a lot.
That's true.
He does. He did want to do our icon with just three dicks.
I heard that.
Yeah.
You know, kind of supported it, but no, and it was educational, not in the
I've got a quick story about that segment of the last episode. Yeah. Real quick, If I can interject,
this is great. I feel like it needs to be said.
This one sort of made my day.
Just a nice little shout out.
My mom is a big fan of ours, and so during the last episode, when Naveed, Phil, and I had about a 3 to 5 minute sort of segue about dicks and the shapes of dicks and how it's going to be our logo and how there's a little slight curve to the left.
It was like, hold on a second. Right. Before, you know, she said that the dick talk was a little bit too much. And
no, that's not what she said.
No, but
I
let's
got a
be
different
real.
Message, it's, Naveed.
But let's say there was a 45 degree angle dick. There was a 30 degree angle dick. There was a chubby dick. There was a really thin spaghetti dick. I'm just saying dick a bunch of times. That's really what
yes,
I want to do.
I don't think all of those were covered, but I see what you're saying.
But go on.
But the best part of the whole
Ladies
thing was that she, at the end,
ride to the right.
Once my mom got past it, she complimented us on the episode. She said she thought it was a lot of fun. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't want you to listen to that one because of the detailed explanation of my dick. And she said, oh, and by the way, you get that from your father.
Ooh. Awesome.
Wait a second. Whoa.
Awesome.
Hold up. Take that back. That was joke talk. I'm not saying I have a 30 degree angle. What the hell
so
happened to my dad?
Papa Jeff has a broken dick.
I guess so. I never knew this.
You did know.
Or maybe he just cranked it too hard and it just like slipped in the shower. I don't know.
But yeah, so that was my awkward moment of the day.
Dude, we should get your mom on this podcast and she can explain.
she can go into
the contour
of your
dad's dick.
I think I'm going on vacation
extreme
next
detail.
Week, so you need another guest house.
Are you really leaving again
next
week?
I'm not going anywhere till at least November.
Jesus, all right.
So I'm broke.
Well, I'm leaving in October for 2 weeks.
Fair enough.
So you guys will have to replace me.
Done. Easy.
That won't be hard.
Done. Boom. Yeah, easy.
It's true.
That's when we'll have your mom on.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
It'll be
totally
cool.
Enough shit talking. Let's hear about Jeremy's trip, because that's that's what we're all here for. Jeremy's been gone for 2 weeks. Traveled the world.
Yes, I'm a traveler. I mean, I don't know. Having listened to podcasts in numerous countries now, I just
the same podcast.
No, I mean, I hate those people. Like, I don't. I mean, oh god, that's like my pet peeve is people who are like, "Well, I've traveled." Oh, you like spring water? Well, when I was in Ethiopia, no. But having now, revealed my distaste for those. Let me tell you about all the cool fucking traveling I just did. Started in Iceland, which is a great place to visit. Not maybe a place that people think about visiting when they are planning trips, but decided to go to Iceland because I've always wanted to, and it looks cool as shit. And realistically, it's a place where a lot of planes stop when you're flying to Germany for a layover. And so the way that kind of came about, it's creeping me out that you guys are so quiet and actually just listening to me talk. So my thoughts are jumbling a little bit. So this is
actually
new.
A new professional.
Yeah, this is very
I
new.
Just fell asleep.
So let me start again. So Alina, her cousin was getting married in Germany, which is kind of what instigated this whole trip. And when we were looking at flights, they were expensive, very fucking expensive. And we noticed that most flights had a layover in Reykjavik, Iceland. So me, being a cheap bastard, decided to look into if I could put together my own itinerary that would be more cost-effective than flying direct to Germany. And it ended up that if we did a week layover in Iceland with a car and a hotel, it would be the same cost as flying directly to Germany. So, hence, an Icelandic vacation was born.
That's awesome.
It was a little...
That's a genius idea.
It was
risky. That's a no-brainer at that point.
Yeah, it became a no-brainer. It was a little risky because it was like, fly to Boston on one airline, have a three-hour layover to get our luggage, recheck it, go through security to get on a flight to... Like, I did this super cheap.
That's a little rough.
I did this super cheap. Like, I was like, no, fuck it, I'm making it happen. But a week in Iceland happened. Went to Iceland, didn't eat well... didn't eat puffin, didn't eat fermented shark. Let's just get that out of the way. In case you didn't know, those are things apparently you do in Iceland. But
all right, unless you're Jeremy.
Yeah, well, that's just...
Then you say nay.
Nay. I did say nay. But I ate their dried fish. They have like a 7-Eleven-esque store there, and they sell shitloads of dried fish. Tried it. Nasty as fuck. But
so you
dried fish at 7-Eleven.
You didn't go for the puffins or anything else, but you went for the dried fish.
Naveed.
From a convenience store, nonetheless.
Right, from a 7-Eleven-esque
you know,
type store.
When in Iceland, these are the things you do. So we got there. We flew into Keflavik.
Really? Because I heard you eat whale and puffin and fermented
shark. I'm
pretty
sure you just said what you do in Iceland. You did none of it except for eat dried fish, which is not what you do when you're in Iceland.
So people from Iceland, when they visit the United States, I don't tell them to go to 7-Eleven and try the little meatballs. That's
or the
not
egg
what
salad sandwich.
Do. Yeah.
Well. Try the sushi from fucking 7-Eleven. It's to die for. Truly die for.
Touche. I mean, all that sounds like is the cultural, the uncultured wines of untraveled people. I will be honest with you. I mean,
all right,
you know, to each their own. So yeah, we got there. We had a week. We rented a car. We've got a cool little place on Airbnb. Fucking love that site. Use it. It's cheaper than hotels. It's cool as shit. But I will say,
real quick.
Yeah.
Have you had some like? It wasn't sketch going through Airbnb. Like you were just like. I trust that this person posts the great photos, and I'm going to see this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've had previously great experiences with Airbnb.
We've discussed one of them on this podcast previously.
Yeah,
we have.
I mean, wherever you get farm fresh breakfast, you're pretty much sold as a customer for life. So,
yes,
like, I'm Airbnb all
the way.
That's
your first Airbnb customer.
Now, I will say,
that's your first
experience.
There
was a little hesitation when we arrived that maybe I had made a grave mistake because we got in... We got in super early. Our flight landed at 4 a.m. and we arranged that we could check in at 7 a.m. They were very accommodating. Can't do that shit at a hotel. More ups to the Airbnb. But I was nervous because we took a shower, turned on the shower. It smelled like sulfur, rotten eggs all the way.
Ooh.
But apparently a lot of the hot water for Icelandic homes is from natural geothermal spot-like water sources. So apparently everyone
so you were loving it.
Everyone just
that's kind of
everyone
awesome.
Just kind of bathes in egg water like it's a thing, and you get used to it. So, like, I mean, by day six, I was like, egg water. I don't even smell that shit no more. I'm egg fresh. Like, I was ready to go. So it's cool. So we went into Reykjavik, which is the main capital. It's the capital, the big city in Iceland. It's like tiny.
All right, I was curious what a big city in Iceland was going to
be.
So,
like, some fun facts about Iceland. The entire country, you know, I like beer. The entire country has seven, like, in all of the country of Iceland, there are only seven craft beer breweries. But that is enough that basically per capita for the population of Iceland, those seven craft breweries produce more beer per person than all of the craft breweries combined in America.
Well, there's seven people in Iceland,
right.
So one craft brewery per person.
Pretty much.
I can see how that works.
It's kind of what it equates to. So, yeah, it's cool as shit is what I'm getting
at. Did they
at.
Tell you that when you visited one
no,
of those?
I read that in a magazine. I picked up a...
Jeremy found that information separately.
I did. I picked up an edition of an Icelandic newspaper that happened to be discussing the craft beer explosion in Iceland. AKA
all seven of them.
All seven breweries that have opened. Because, fun fact, beer was illegal in Iceland until 1988.
Wow, really?
Because of some, like, weird prohibition law. So they're loving it over there. They're drinking it. They're having a good time. And it stays sunny 20 hours a day right now. So they're drinking a lot.
So being a beer connoisseur and only having... been able to make beer legally since 1988. How was it?
Now, Naveed, that's a difficult question because as a beer connoisseur, I want to be honest, but I'm talking about a country that has seven craft breweries for the entire, like, we're talking a
country. hold them to the same standard as the rest of the world. We all know that they've been brewing beer for less than 30 years. We get it. We'll give them a pass. Yeah. But on the same standard as the rest of the world, does it match up?
Let me put it this way.
And really, before you answer this, let's be real. We have no listeners from Iceland, so fucking let loose.
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to Sigpor and and Ulma. Yeah, I love you guys. International listeners. That's what I bring to the table, Naveed. So before you make judgments,
just diversity.
Yeah. So
when you see Jeremy, you think diversity.
You need to apologize to Singapore and Olaf or whatever. I don't remember their names. I'm not good at this. but it is easy to make friends with people there because they're not jaded like they are in larger countries, so that was a nice thing. No, but
and
getting
you
back,
look like them.
Yeah, well, that is true. Everywhere I went, people thought I was Icelandic, and they were speaking to me in the native tongue, and I just kind of shrugged my shoulders and like looked at them funny, and they would just all start speaking English, and it was kind of unfair because I feel like I shouldn't be able to go to a foreign country and have everyone accommodate me. Not that I'm like upset about it, but it like felt a little bit weird that everyone spoke my language and I didn't even make an effort to try to speak theirs. But, you know,
that would be a little confusing. Jeremy does look like he had Vikings in his ancestry.
Right. He
a while back.
His skin color is iridescent.
Yes.
Let's just say
translucent. And
I felt at home. I felt at home. I was among my peers. Like it's the only place where I wasn't the one over applying sunscreen. I almost felt like I wasn't applying enough. Like, it was good. Like, I felt good. I felt right. But to get back to your question, the beer was actually surprisingly good considering there are only 7 craft breweries for the entire island. Their IPA game, not up to par, but, you know, to be
hard to grow hops
to be expected.
In snowpack. Yeah,
and it's an Indian thing.
It's true. And it's, I mean, I don't know how nerdy you want to get, but, like, one of the coolest things we did is we went to this greenhouse where they grow a bunch of vegetables using geothermal heat and geothermal energy, and the menu at this greenhouse consists of just tomato soup and bread. It's all they serve. It's like tomato soup made with tomatoes that they grow in this greenhouse. But apparently this is a big deal in Iceland because being an island that's not the most friendly to like growing crops, they have to create greenhouses, and I guess the government has recently created... See, this is what happens when I go on vacation.
That's all right. This is actually interesting.
You come back and don't
seem to be a little worried about it, but this is actually interesting.
I go to Iceland and I learn about vegetation policies of the government.
Yeah. Well, you also took some fantastic pictures, and that's what every vacation is about.
Pretty much.
So,
oh, yeah.
You got that done.
My Instagram game was on point.
Now educate us.
So there's like this whole government movement to like create more local produce in Iceland. So they're like subsidizing greenhouses. And they're fascinating to me because all the water is natural. Like tap water in Iceland is glacier melt. So like when you go to the store, when you're going to Whole Foods and you're paying $7.99 for your Icelandic glacier water, you're literally just buying tap water from Iceland because that's what it's like.
Yeah.
Hot water is geothermal spring water and cold water is glacier melt. It's pretty awesome. And it's weird because there's like these geothermal zones, so you'll just be like walking through town and then like steam is just shooting out of the ground randomly at places. And it also
seems safe.
Just in town,
yeah,
really?
Just like in random towns. And they like bake, they'll like dig holes in the ground and use the heat from the geothermal spring to like bake bread. It's very fascinating. Very fascinating.
That's actually pretty fascinating. That is very interesting.
So what I'm getting at, though, this tomato greenhouse, all these places, if I could pronounce the names of any of them, I would recommend them. But I don't know what the fuck they're called. Yeah, I know what nothing I visited in Iceland is called, and I could not pronounce it if I tried. Because I'm just going to keep talking until you guys have anything to say.
Well, I have a quick question. Speaking of mispronunciations and foreign words, you told us the German word for leprechaun, which we tried to figure out last week.
Jeff.
And we thought it was just leprechaun. What the hell was that word,
Jeff,
that you sent
us? We were going to wait until he got to the Germany part of his story, but wait to just jump into...
I'm going way ahead.
I know.
Well, it is leprechaun.
It kind of works.
It is leprechaun. That is, they do recognize that word in Germany. And I hate to break it to you, but when I listened to the podcast with Phil and you guys were talking about this, all I did was open up Google Translate and type leprechaun. Oh. So I don't even remember what the word was. It's not like I was just running around Germany being like, tell me about the leprechauns, but in German.
I thought you actually had that conversation while you were in Germany, figured it out, and sent it back
to us. Not at all, Jeff.
All right. Well, that's not nearly as much fun then. Sorry.
Yeah, I just know how to use technology.
At the wrong time. It's very exciting.
See? Way to go, Jeff.
Yeah.
I ruined it.
So
that's what third place is like.
But this is also
go on, Jeremy.
This is true because some guy at a bar at 4 a.m. told it to me. But apparently, Icelandic language is the oldest existing, like, European Nordic language. I don't even know if it's Nordic, but just like the oldest, purest European language, like going way back. It's apparently the same language Vikings spoke. Like, it's untainted. It's an untainted language.
Wow.
AKA. Very confusing and hard as fuck to understand. So, like, we thought we were, like, pronouncing things. Like, we went to some area called, like, Thingvellir, which is a national park, and all these things. And we were, like, talking to a friend that lives in Iceland, because we have those, because we're cultured. And
white.
A.K.A. white. And he was like, I don't understand what the fuck you guys are talking about. Please stop trying to speak my language. Let me speak English to you. So we were like, cool, done. But the fascinating thing about Iceland, having been there, I just want to keep saying that because I'm being the guy I hate and I kind of love it. But is all their touristy stuff. Like, you go to, like, San Francisco, you go to all these cities, and they're like, all the touristy stuff is look at this cool shit that man created, like the Space Needle or Pier 39 or the shopping district. Iceland, like, all of their touristy stuff is just ridiculously beautiful nature. So it's kind of weird because you could tell tourism's growing there and there's, like, a lot of money invested because they're building and developing, like, the tourist areas. But, like, shit that could never fly in America, you could just do in Iceland. Like, you're walking up to, like, 200-degree boiling holes of water in the ground. And, like, all there is, like, a small sign that says, like, hot. And you're like, I don't know if I should be allowed to stand this close to it. But they don't give a fuck. They're just like, go. If you touch it, that's your bad. And I almost am, like, worried that, like, some shitty Americans are going to go to Iceland and fuck it up for everybody. Because, like, we climbed rickety wooden ladders, like, over barbed wire fences, and that was just, like, part of the hiking trail. You're like, it's the weirdest, most surreal place. It looks like Mars. It's the only place in my life I think I'll ever sit in a mountain valley in a river that's, like, perfectly heated to 102 degrees because glacier water meets geothermal hot spring water. And they just come together and meld in this perfect temperature.
That's ridiculous. That sounds
like
incredible.
It's hard to describe because it's just this land of ridiculous beauty and amazingness that, and like, we thought we were cool. We were like, we spent, because it's light 20 hours a day, we'd be out in the middle of nowhere just checking out cool ass shit and then look at the clock and we're like, oh, it's 9 o'clock. We should probably go home. We're like, why? We have three more hours of light. So I didn't sleep a whole lot while I was there because there's just so much to see. And then we looked at a map, like, at the end of our time, and we looked at a map. We're like, we saw so much. We saw, like, nothing. I felt like it was ridiculous. So I'm going
to
go back.
Whoa. Well, bless you to whoever that was.
Yeah, bless you, Lauren.
So,
Jesus.
Beer game is on point for only having 7 craft breweries, if that's what you're into. I mean, of all the reasons to go to Iceland, craft beer would probably not rank in the top 10. But if that's, like, your deciding, if that's your deciding factor, it's worth it. Sure. Coffee game is on point. Europe in general kind of has a coffee addiction that I'm okay with because I love coffee as well. But,
and it's unique in every country. Germany is different from Italy, is different from France, and they all just are far superior to the American coffee.
And Iceland has, like, what they call the Nordic-style coffee, which is very light roasts. So,
okay.
But balanced.
That doesn't sound like you at all.
What are you talking? That's my jam, son.
Light roast is? I would have thought you'd be the deep stuff. Give me more flavor.
Dark roast is for people who pretend they like coffee but don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Hey, what's up, all you listeners? I hope I offended all of you. Step up your coffee game. So, yeah. But it's weird because they're like Starbucks. They're Cafetar and their other major chain whose name I can't remember. Oh, Te and Cafe. Like, they're like the Starbucks and Pete's of Iceland, a.k.a. there's like 7 stores each. 6 maybe. But, like, their coffee is amazing. So you could, like, walk into any coffee shop there and you're just getting ballerific coffee. So so basically what I'm saying is top 3 reasons to go to Iceland. Cool as fuck nature, coffee, and beer. Which is a great segue.
So beer made the list. Like, it made top 3?
So beer's top 3, but it's a very far third place.
Because, like, over the, like, the springs and, like, boiling water in the ground.
Or how friendly the locals are.
Well, the locals are incredibly friendly.
Unnecessarily, like, harsh, like, fucking dangerous things you can do.
20 hours of daylight.
Well, see, I'm curious.
All of that's worse than the beer.
Food.
Which is adequate.
I'd be curious to go back to Iceland when it was wintertime and it was like the opposite, like 20 hours of darkness, 24 hours of darkness, because I'd be curious to see how that, like, changes people's attitudes. Like
how many people kill themselves.
Yeah, because I was there. Like a super happy, positive place. Everyone was loving life. I was out 20 hours a day enjoying, like, the most surreal landscapes. Like, we were driving through the middle of nowhere, because everywhere in Iceland is pretty much a 2-lane highway and you can go about 55. And we're driving through the middle of nowhere, and because I have the internets and I can look things up, I read about this tiny little 2-person hot spring in the middle of nowhere. So we pull off this road and we sat in this random little hot spring in the middle of nowhere, and I don't remember I was going with the story because I'm super professional. But yeah, we
that
sat
was great. Nailed that story.
Nailed it.
Can't wait.
Got you almost to the climax, yeah. And then we're just going to walk away.
So, I can't wait for the next story. That just cliffhanger right there.
I don't have your gift, Naveed. I can't. Like, I'm not used to being able to talk this long uninterrupted. So this is, it's, I'm not used to this. I expected a little bit more of, like, a Q&A interaction between you guys. So,
but you're doing so well.
Right.
You've got so many stories.
The struggle's real.
This is wonderful.
Real.
See, I'm not well traveled, so I don't. I'm like just fucking useless when it comes to anything on that side of the world.
Well, no, I mean, so before I continue my beautiful travel logs, because I have so many. Like, what have you guys been to many countries? Have you? Are you
so this is what I've done.
Okay.
I've been to a handful of states. I went to Mexico one time, and we went the cheap route where we flew from the Bay Area. Mind you, the end goal.
Tijuana doesn't count.
No.
Tijuana's just
South San Diego.
I've
been there. Yeah, I don't count that. The end goal was Cancun.
Okay.
So we went from the Bay Area, flew to Detroit, and then from Detroit went to Cancun. Because that makes fucking sense.
That makes perfect sense.
So,
okay,
that's the extent of my travels, which is really sad. And if anybody wants to start a GoFundMe to send me around the world.
To get Naveed some culture.
Right.
Okay. I guess. And Jeff, have you been to Europe?
I've been a few places.
You went to Italy, right?
I did Hawaii. I've been to, about half the states.
Well, you're going to Turks and Caicos.
I'm going to Turks and Caicos very soon. I worked in Florida and the Bahamas at Club Med, which is what I'm going back to Turks and Caicos for, is a Club Med reunion. I
heard that.
And last summer I went to Europe and did Italy and the south of France.
South of France is beautiful. Did you do Nice?
It is. The Côte d'Azur. Yeah, it was awesome trip last year in Italy and Florence and Venice and
that was
Rome
for your honeymoon, wasn't it?
Kind of. It was kind of like a 1-year anniversary / honeymoon / family trip, because we went with some family, but we got to go off and do our own thing. So
that's the trip you got for Christmas, where I wasn't there, but like had a memory of creepy details of you getting this gift that I shouldn't have, right?
I don't know what you're referencing at all.
I thought we had this discussion where, like, I for some reason thought I was there when, like, Lauren's parents told you guys you were going to go to Italy with them, and you.
That's right. Why did you?
And
think
you were
that?
Like, you there's.
You thought that you were at our Christmas, and like sitting around the tree,
and you're
with
like,
us as we
and you're
open
like,
these
and
gifts.
You're like, there's no way you could have a recollection of
there's
it.
There's no way that was that.
But then
there's no way
I
that
revealed
happened.
Like a bunch of creepy details that were very accurate, and you were like, "Stop stalking me." It was weird.
Yeah, that's really. I do remember that now. I think I must have tuned that out on purpose because it was so friggin' creepy. But, yeah, that was the trip.
Okay. Well, basically,
I spent an Easter with Jeff and Lauren and Lauren's parents one time.
That was a good Easter.
Anytime you're there, it's a good Easter. I remember, like, I feel like we, even though I haven't spent a lot of, and I'm just gonna go on a small tangent before I bring it back to me. But
that's what James. Yeah. That's what. Yeah.
So
we would expect.
But I feel like, even if I wasn't there on that Christmas, and I feel like I've spent something that's equivalent to holidays with Lauren's parents and Naveed clearly, because I remember when Jeff and Lauren were getting married, that I believe Jeff's mom pulled you and I aside exclusively, and told us that she didn't want us to hold back at their wedding. And she, like, gave us explicit permission to almost fuck it up.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Wait, my mom did
no,
this?
No, no, Lauren's mom.
Lauren's
mom. Like, pulled us aside.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
But
that doesn't
reason,
sound like something my mom would do, but Lauren's mom,
the,
yeah, that's
the
sounds,
reasoning
that
behind
right.
that was that there was some relative that was really, like, just easily offended.
Yeah.
And she wanted us to pretty much, like, just make it the worst time for that individual by having the best time of our lives.
She basically told us
that's pretty awesome.
She basically, like, it was like a secret mission. Like, she pulled us aside and was like, based on your guys' personality, I am entrusting in you the responsibility to fuck up the wedding for this
you
person.
Two are
I didn't know any
degenerates.
Of this, and that makes the day so much better. That is incredible.
Yeah, so I feel
so
like
now you know where we came from. We were on a mission. We had to fulfill this. It was the bride's mom. We can't say
mom.
No.
Absolutely. You can't say no to her
and
that
I
day.
And I feel like
no.
that trust doesn't come randomly, so it has to come from things like Naveed sharing an Easter and me sharing an imaginary Christmas with my
Easter with the folks. I was fucked up the night before.
There's a reason you end up on the couch on Easter Eve or whatever it would
be. But the sweetest thing was I just got really drunk and happened to fall asleep at the couch, so I didn't drive home. It wasn't planned. Nothing came of it. But being the sweet folks that they are, they made me an Easter basket.
They made him an Easter basket, added eggs to the whole Easter egg hunt. Mind you, we were all in our late 20s, maybe approaching 30 at this point.
It was like a handful of years ago. It wasn't even that long ago.
Yeah, it wasn't even that long ago. But yeah, they made him an Easter basket. They made him an extra plate at breakfast. They hid eggs for him, like they do some indoor Easter egg hunt thing.
And because of that,
like the most awesome people in the world.
Right, but because of that, I felt like the biggest piece of shit. Like, what am I doing with my life that these kind folks took pity on me on this holiday where I had nobody.
Pity's probably the right word.
Right. And so, yeah.
Oh, this guy's so drunk. He needs something.
Oh, Naveed.
We'll take this brown kid in for the day.
See, that's beautiful. That's all
that's
I have
what
to say.
Holidays are
that's
about,
what's
right?
Holidays. It's about adopting
it's
a brown kid.
And
that was
weird brown kids.
Sentiment right there. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for going on that tangent with me. I feel more confident now.
now you can step into your Germany
that's
side
right.
of stories.
Well, no, first.
Yeah, I think that was a good enough little
I think
side
I need to just brag.
Stories.
Like, it also reassured me because I realized I've been way more places than all of you. Like, we're. Can I just list off?
I thought I did
can
okay.
Can I list off where I've been? Can I be?
Yeah,
that
go
guy?
For it. Let's hear.
My travels are like the movies I've seen. It's just very not a lot. So
the only places he's been is through the television screen.
So if Tijuana counts, I've done Mexico, and if Toronto counts, I've done Canada.
Sorry.
So
scratch.
Otherwise, we're doing England, France, Italy, Croatia, Greece, Turkey. Germany, Switzerland, now Iceland, Spain, Portugal, and I'm sure there's...
That's Europe.
Yeah, I've done
you. Stop linking it a huge list. You did Europe. Cool, it's not like you did Europe and Asia cool, and Africa. You've been to Europe.
And then also, I didn't hear the last five you said because there was like a weird gargling noise from the dick you were eating. So, sorry, I just didn't get it.
I heard that too. I thought it was just normal.
Don't worry, brown like, boy. Someday you'll have rights.
I'm telling you, GoFundMe. Let's do this.
So yeah, Iceland, I feel like everything I discussed about it didn't do it any justice. Go there. It's amazing.
Done with Iceland now, Jeremy. Let's go on to Germany. We're already halfway through this.
Check out Jeremy's Instagram because there's a lot of gorgeous pictures on there.
I can't. I'm doing it no justice. It's an incredible country, and it has to be seen. That's all I can say about it. So yes, then Germany. Germany happened. Germany was like... kind of the opposite of Iceland. Iceland was me and my girlfriend just experiencing awesomeness for a week. Then we flew to Germany. Actually, interesting.
You broke up.
Interesting story.
No.
Yes, Naveed.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So, our last day of Iceland, we decided to do the Blue Lagoon, which is like a famous spa
but
there.
But did you post pics? I didn't see any pictures.
No, there's
that.
One picture of me, the one with me with all the white stuff on my face sitting in the milky blue water. Yeah, that sounds weird, but that's the photo.
Probably want to call that sunscreen.
White shit on my face, milky blue water, dudes all around me.
Yeah. That's actually a natural silica mask, Jeffrey. Available at the Blue Lagoon.
Whatever you want to call it, don't call it the white stuff that they smeared on my
face. Well, no, so that's the thing. Having now been through Iceland and sat in, like, the middle of a mountain valley and sat in, like, this random two-person hot spring in the middle of nowhere, Blue Lagoon... was kind of like the Pier 39 of Iceland, where it felt touristy. So it was awesome and incredible. But if you ever do go to Iceland,
how quickly you become jaded.
I know, it's true. It's so true. And I was a little bit ashamed of myself because I was like, I am sitting in one
you
of
the
I'm
be.
Sitting in one
what
of the,
an asshole. He's in the Blue Lagoon in Iceland, going.
It's no mountain valley hot spring.
This reminds me of Fisherman's Wharf.
As far as hot springs go, it's no mountain valley. It's decent, but
it's like taking the Statue of Liberty tour. It's okay. Yeah,
but it's kind of like the it's pretty much like the hot spring that we pulled over on the side of the road that I looked up our little two person hot spring. It's pretty much the same thing.
It's so true, though. I feel so bad. But what I'm saying is if you go to Iceland, do it first because you will become jaded. Iceland's jading. It's just fucking amazing. But you can drink beer in the Blue. Well, you can drink beer anywhere. So that's a stupid.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant.
way to try to save it.
So this will save it, though. So Icelandic currency is
doubtful.
Weird. They use Icelandic kronars, and the conversion rate is ridiculous. It's like 100 and.
You say kronars?
Krona.
Cronuts?
Icelandic
Krona.
Never
heard of that.
So the conversion rate's really weird. It's like 135 Icelandic Krona to one US dollar. At least that's what it was when we went. So prices for everything sound absurd. And they don't say like Krona or anything. So you'll go somewhere and you'll just be paying for like beer. Everything's kind of expensive in Iceland. Like you go and you order a beer and they're like, that'll be 1100. And that's all they say. And you're like, what? Which translates roughly to like $7-$8, but like it's just weird because they say, and it's interesting because the conversion rates work very poorly for most things. Like I saw a T-shirt I liked and I was like, oh, this T-shirt, and then I looked at the price and it's like, oh, 31,000, and I was like, did the math and I was like, this is a $300 T-shirt. That's absurd. So for some things it doesn't work out, but for other things it's amazing. So at the Blue Lagoon. This is where I'm going with this. There's a restaurant called Lava, and the main chef of Lava is the Nordic Chef of the Year for 2014-15. I don't know. And he's also...
Because there's only seven restaurants, so...
Only had to beat out the six other people in the country.
No, not just Iceland. Nordic, so Norway, Sweden. He's like the 2014 Nordic Chef of the Year. So, like, of all the Nordic countries, he's the man. And
so out of 15 people.
Yeah, 15, 16.
Okay.
And... He's also the head of the Icelandic cooking team. I'm not really sure what they compete in, but Tell me that doesn't sound impressive as shit.
that sounds very impressive.
Like,
sure.
If you're like, I'm the head of the Icelandic cooking team, I'm like, I'm going to...
I have no idea what those qualifications are. I trust you. But it sounds great.
So, well, it's this amazing restaurant. You're basically
It kind of makes me want to punch you when you say that.
It's good.
There's been a lot of those instances so far tonight.
I'm back. So... we were like sitting down. We had when we were like, let's eat at this restaurant, and we sat down, and it was a 5-course, basically, chef's choice menu, and we were like, oh, this is going to be absurd because prices in Iceland are generally expensive, but that's what we realized is like when you're in Iceland, the conversions are really weird. Where like if you want to go buy like a ham sandwich, it costs you $12, but if you want to have like a amazing delicious top level fish dinner, it's like $20. $20. So there's not a huge gap between it. And the other thing is there's no tax and no tipping in Iceland. So like the price is what it was. So we sat down.
That's awesome.
So we sat down to like this 5-course dinner prepared by Nordic Chef of the Year. And it ended up only being, I think, $55 or $60 per person. And that's like flat rate. And that included like champagne, beer, couple bonus courses.
Oh, that's with drinks.
Couple bonus courses. So that's kind of how we concluded Iceland. So if you do go to the Blue Lagoon, go there first, eat in the restaurant, then go see all the mind blowing fucking nature because it'll make the Blue Lagoon seem insignificant. But so that's kind of how we ended our trip with just this awesome dinner between me and my girlfriend, and we flew to Germany. While we were at that dinner at Lava, I got a text message saying that my
another punch. Yeah. In the face.
How are we still in Iceland right
getting,
now?
Like you've
tried to get to Germany multiple fucking times, and this may be
multiple flights already.
Dude, so, this may be a 2-part episode. You suck.
So I'm sitting at this restaurant, and I get a text message telling me that my flight to Germany is canceled. Right, cliffhanger. This is where we go to commercial. Oh wait, you guys didn't secure sponsors while I was gone, so there is no cliffhanger. I'm just gonna have to go into the story. So I got a text message telling me that my flight is canceled. Me, I'm like, oh, that's a bummer. My girlfriend's like, get on the phone now. So I call a guy. He's like, yeah, let me rebook you. He actually rebooked us on a flight 10 minutes later, so it really wasn't a big deal. I don't even know why I brought that up. So
terrible cliffhanger.
It's like a TLC episode.
I really wish we would have done a part two to that. Cliffhanger.
It's like a TLC episode,
and
right?
On the next episode.
I'm trying to do this like reality
TV. Yeah, we just got on 10 minutes
later. To do this like reality TV where they're like, oh my God, you ordered the wrong wood for the kitchen. And then they go to commercial and then they recap like 10 minutes. All right, whatever. And so we get to Germany. We fly to Germany. We flew into Zurich, Switzerland because I'm fucking classy. I don't fly into Germany. I fly into Switzerland.
Oh my God. How many punch in the face moments do you need in one episode?
As many as I can get. As many as I can get.
I guess so.
So Germany was – the reason I'm talking about Germany is because Germany was kind of a different experience. We went there for a wedding, and part of that was also like me meeting all of the girlfriend's family. So we were in Germany
For
the first time. So we were in Germany, ooh, like the equivalent we were in Iceland, but a lot of that was just going to like grandma's house – driving up
so
to the
it's
wedding.
No wonder you didn't have fun in Germany because you were fucking on edge and like you had to be on.
Navid.
What? Don't act like meeting the parents for the first time isn't fucking nerve-wracking.
Don't say that I didn't have fun in Germany. I had the best time in Germany. The bestest.
Yeah.
So
can't wait
to
go back.
Okay, no. So like we fly into Zurich, Alina's mom picks us up. We drive back to her place. Basically, the next day, it was a 4-hour drive to where the wedding was going to be. We checked into the little hotel. Awesome hotel. Which is cool. We drove all through French wine country and German wine country. So we drove through a lot of really cool shit. We just didn't stop at any of it.
Okay.
And then,
okay. So you can say you saw it. You just.
And then we went to this wedding. And this wedding was German weddings. I don't know if they're all like the one I went to. But the one I went to was cool as shit. Their theme was like traveling around the world. They did like a pinata. They released balloons into the air. They took us down into like a weird basement where they tapped three kegs and everyone was drinking. Then that basement turned into like a Euro dance club at some point when we were all eating dinner in like a loft. I don't even understand. It was an incredible wedding. Jeff, your wedding was cool, but like step it up German style next time. Not that there's going to be a next time. I don't know why I said that. Lauren, I love you. Forgive me. So yeah, after the wedding, which was epic, this is what happens when you guys just let me talk. We went up to Grandma's house, which is another hour north in the middle.
Over the river and through the woods.
Like,
that's what exactly went through my
head. No, like Grandma lives in kind of like the Bakersfield of Germany.
Oh, terrible. Ooh.
It's like a small little hick town in the middle of nowhere. Which, and so you go like, so I was kind of excited because I don't have grandparents. Like my, well, I do have. Wow, sorry, Grandma. And sorry. Let me correct that.
Oh my Jesus. God, what is happening right now?
Hey, it's all right. She's
that's
not
amazing.
Listening.
I have two two grandmas. Neither of them are going to listen to this podcast. Yeah. I hope. But I do have two.
That's what you meant. No grandparents that will listen yeah. to this podcast.
Well, it's not really what I meant, but but
just take
what
me
I'm,
out.
What I'm saying is like I don't have grandparents in the traditional sense. Like one of my grandmas lives in like an assisted care facility, and well, they both live in assisted care facilities. So I don't have like grandparents where like you go to like grandma and grandpa's house, which is basically like walking into a preserved museum of 19 whatever era they decided to stop upgrading their furniture and decor. So to me, that's kind of exciting because like going to like grandma's house is. It's just it's interesting to me to like see shit from 1930 or whatever they decided that they were done upgrading their house. And like her parent,
how old is grandma? Well, Jesus.
Well, her grandma, like they owned a farm. So like
that made it through World War II, apparently.
Yes, apparently. So like they have land, untouched. Like land. They just have land. So we did the tour. The tour took like 35 minutes just to go like through his land. It was amazing. And like it wasn't even like seen, and it was interpreted for me by Alina, which was nice. But the rest of my time at Grandma's house just consisted of them speaking to me in German because for some reason my loving and wonderful girlfriend decided to tell her very German grandparents who don't speak English that if they just spoke to me slowly in German, I could understand what they were saying.
Perfect.
Because it's always the speed that gets you. It's not the fact that you don't know the language.
Which, I mean, I can pick up on it because I've been studying and I took it for a couple years in high school. So there's a little bit of truth to that, but not really. So
it's similar to people, I guess, speaking slower to a retard?
Yeah. Yeah. Or just like anyone in general who's foreign. I don't know if you do that, but most like American people are guilty of that.
I don't get out much.
Or like if you go to a different country and like for some reason you think speaking the same thing slower is going to make people understand it. It's just generally not a true rule.
I thought that was just an American thing when they were traveling abroad, but I guess that happens everywhere.
So I'm at like random grandparents' house in the middle of farm country. And, I mean, you guys might know this about me, but the listeners probably don't. But I don't really eat a lot of meat. I eat a little bit of seafood, and then mostly vegetarian diet other than seafood.
Well, not anymore, right? You used to.
Yeah. No, it's been that way for a couple years. Wow. Well, yeah, okay. I'm glad we changed the name for Three Best Friends, because you guys clearly don't know me. But, sorry, that was a self.
I didn't say anything mainly because
self pity moment right there.
I didn't say anything mainly because I wasn't listening anymore. So
that's a true best friend, right?
I'm
there.
A better friend.
I don't care what you're saying anymore.
There's a reason I'm bringing this up is because I don't really eat a lot of like red meat, poultry, any of that stuff. I pretty much it's seafood, vegetarian diet for me, predominantly vegetarian. So I get to Grandma's house. They do not speak any English. They're like diehard native German speakers, which makes sense because that's the country they live in. And so to me, like, how do you bond with a grandma? You eat whatever the fuck she cooks for you. So we sit down to dinner for the first night, and it's literally potato salad full of ham and sausages. And I was like,
that's a German
fuck
diet
yes,
right
this
there.
Is the yeah. most German dinner ever. I love this. I don't normally eat this, but I was like, I'm going to eat the shit out of this dinner. Grandma's going
to
love me.
I got to say, I've been trying to go vegetarian a little bit lately, and now every time meat is presented, it just hurts.
It's true.
Like, it's like an immediate gut bomb.
It hurts. It does.
When you're not
it's
ready,
true.
When you're not used
it's
to it.
I think true. That's so just your boyfriend pulling out.
Okay.
Yeah. or that. Well, no, but what I'm getting at is my plan worked. I had a strategy going in. I heard Grandpa
was
liked
the food good.
I heard Grandpa liked beer, and Grandma liked people who ate her food. So like I was like, okay. Game set plan. I am ready to go. I won't be able to communicate with them, but I will eat and drink the shit out of it. So, and I did. And by the end of the first night, like Grandpa was like, Grandpa can drink. Like, you think I can drink? Grandpa can get down on some German. Like, I had to cut myself off, but he was proud of me. And like, the second day, Grandma just brought out more meat. And the food was delicious. It's grandma food we're talking about. Let's not fuck around.
Grandma
it's
food is always
delicious.
Good.
So, by the second day, I got the nod of the hat from Grandma, where she even said, ooh. And it was translated to me from German, where she even said to my girlfriend, you're such a fussy eater. You're not like him. He's a good eater. I like him. Boom.
That's incredible. A tip of the
hat,
too.
At that point, Grandma won over. My job is done.
All you so, had to
Jeremy
do
is not a sports. Jeremy is obviously not a sports person because he just did game set point game set something else. He's not using that correctly, yeah. But get the idea. Get
game
where you're
set
going.
Game point. Set touchdown.
Yeah, game set touchdown. Shuttlecock to the face. Boom.
Shuttlecock. All right.
Yeah, I listen.
That's you and Grandma.
So that was. So we had one day, basically 1.5 days, or. Yeah, 1.5 days at Grandma's house. I conquered that. So then we drove back down to the southern part of Germany on the Switzerland border, which is where Alina's mom lives. And so basically 3 days, 4 days of my initial visit to Germany were like traveling and meeting tons of family. So then we got back to basically home base in Germany. And then vacation was on. So, cool thing about where she lives is it's basically the border of France, Switzerland, and Germany. So, we went into Basel. I've never been to Basel. Really cool city. I did something called a Rhine swim. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. So, the thing about Switzerland...
Swim in the Rhine River?
Yeah. No, that's exactly what it is. But okay. It's cooler than that, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, please do.
So, Switzerland is like... a rich as fuck country, right? They have like one of the highest life satisfaction ratings in the world. People love living in Switzerland. They pay people fuckloads of money, and it's expensive as shit to live there, but they're like, hey, we love you, live here, we'll pay you to live here. So we went to Switzerland, my first time ever being in Switzerland, and the Rhine River runs through it, and we're walking around, and there's like a giant outdoor cinema set up for the summertime where people can just go watch movies at night. There's a barge floating in the middle of the Rhine River where they perform like outdoor concerts at evening for people who live in Switzerland. Basically, they're like, you live in Switzerland. We want you to have a good time. Here's a bunch of cool shit. So while we were walking through Switzerland, we noticed there's a bunch of people like swimming the Rhine River, which you don't really do because it has a current and you move. So they're just kind of like jumping in. And they have these things called Wickelfisch, which apparently you can only buy in Switzerland. It's like a bag that kind of looks like a goldfish cracker. And it's a waterproof bag. So they designed these bags. You can only buy them in Switzerland, where basically you put all your shit in it. You jump in the Rhine River. You float down it for however long. And then you get out, and you have all your shit in your little swim fish. So we did the swim. Okay. I had, like, a bootleg Amazon waterproof bag. I thought I was cool as shit, so we did a Rhine swim. I walked.
That was not cooler than what Jeff said. I was waiting for the cool part.
No, it's getting cool. So we're, like, floating down the Rhine River. There's this there's this Swiss band from the 70s playing a rock concert on a floating barge. I'm using my Amazon.
That's the coolest sentence you've said all night. That's an epic sentence. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Say it again. Yeah. Swiss 1970s on a barge.
So I was floating down the Rhine River in Switzerland, and there was a band.
God damn it, Jeff. See what you did.
No.
Damn it.
So I get out of the river at the end of, and we float past this rock concert. I get out. Well, let's need to say my Amazon waterproof bag did not work as effectively as the Vickle,
not quite
as the Vickle fish that you can buy in Switzerland. Wow, that's offensive. And so I put on soaking wet clothes and decided, like, fuck it, I'm going to this festival or whatever they call it, because I'm not Swiss and I don't know what they call it. But think about, you guys are letting me talk, so you're just going to deal with this shit. It's not going to be exciting. So the cool thing about it is, like, it's a very clean, beautiful country because people care about it. It's very weird. So we go to, like, this barge rock concert that's happening, and I wish I could remember the name of the band. They were from the 70s, and they were cool, but they were singing in Swiss German, which kind of made it cooler. And we went to go order beer, and the thing, like, this is just an example of, like, how they do things differently. You go to order a beer, you order a beer, and you have to put a deposit down on the cup because they give you a reusable cup. And basically, so because they don't want people to throw shit away and cause, like, create messes. They want to keep the city beautiful. So they give you a reusable cup, and you basically drink, you pay for refills, and then when you're done, you return your cup and you get your deposit back. I was like, fucking Swiss geniuses. I don't know why, but that made a big impression on me. And then, so that was kind of night one in the Switzerland, Germany landscapes.
Oh my God, how many nights do we have of this?
Well, second
day. We don't have enough time in the podcast.
Yeah. We're at your limit. We're already over an hour. We need the highlights, Jeremy. Give us the good stuff.
We're at 58 minutes. Well, Q&A, folks.
Give us the good
stuff.
Well,
then I went to Lucerne. So Lucerne's like a beautiful Swiss Appalachian mountain town. I basically took a boat tour. I took a boat to a cog rail, the steepest cog rail road in the world, up a mountain, stood on top of a mountain, had a beer, rode a gondola down the other side of the mountain, and then walked around a beautiful Swiss town, looked at a famous statue. That was cool.
All right, good day two.
Good day two.
All right.
Day three, ate some bread.
I feel like we should revisit once, because you just got back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's still fresh in the mind, but it's still kind of a blur because that's the end of the trip.
It's true.
You're kind of like, all right, it's time to go.
You still
home.
Have all the details. The good stuff hasn't filtered itself out
right.
yet.
Well, that and like,
so
I just wanted you guys to ask me some questions. You're like leaving me. Leaving me struggle. Like, this episode is just going to be me. This is what a drowning man sounds like. Everyone.
Well, here's what we found out that we're really good at, and that's finishing strong. Like, almost too strong. We finish where we should be starting.
Mm-hmm.
But let
except
me throw this
for
out
this
there.
One. Since, this one just got run into
one.
The ground.
This this one's just been a train wreck since.
Yeah,
the end.
I have a feeling I'm just going to be a guest host from now on. They'd be like, well, Jeremy's back, and that is the most boring episode of Bromuda Podcast that's ever existed.
No, not at all. You've actually got some, there's some fun stuff in there. That whole geothermal baking bread shit was actually really interesting.
That's
but since
all Jeff
Jeremy
got out of that.
Seriously,
that's what
for
I remember.
An hour on
yeah.
my epic experience. So Jeff is like, they bake bread next time.
They bake bread in the ground?
They bake bread in the ground.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, can we just redo this tomorrow? Because, like, there is so much cool shit that I didn't even touch on. Like, I saw geysers erupting.
Well, let's come back to it. But for the time being, real quick to finish this up strong like we always do, we haven't heard from Naveed. And let's bring it back a little bit. Naveed, what's the best trip you've ever taken?
First of all, what the fuck did you just call me?
I said Naveed.
No, you didn't. We'll play it back.
All right. I probably just slurred through it.
You did.
It's cool.
That's all right. That's what third place does. What was the question?
What's the coolest trip you've ever been on?
Question. What's the best trip you've ever taken? What's the best trip you've ever been on? Could be the best place you've ever been or just the most fun you've ever had in a random location, whatever. What's the best trip you've taken?
The best trip I've ever taken was actually over this past New Year's Eve. I got the opportunity to go to New York for New Year's Eve. And we did the whole Times Square ball drop fiasco, which I could do a whole podcast on that whole trip, but I'll explain it a little bit
later.
Could
you, Naveed? Because I'm telling you, it's a little bit more difficult than you think when people just want you to talk about an entire trip that you've been on. And they don't really contribute a whole lot. They just kind of listen, which is weird. And, yeah, I just want to let you know that.
I could definitely hold an audience. But it was phenomenal. It was like, I think 12 days or something ridiculous in New York. We got to stay. My girlfriend has a family friend that is a fashion designer. His name's Tadashi, and he had like a $3 million apartment that we got to stay in for free.
Have you ever been concerned about your girlfriend's relationship with Tadashi?
No, he's a fashion designer, so one, he's not into chicks.
So not much to worry about usually.
Not concerned whatsoever.
Might be a little bit of stereotyping, but I think you're pretty safe.
No, he definitely is. I know this for a fact.
Okay. How do you know that as wink, a fact?
Wink.
How well do you know this fact?
He's like,
so it was a great
your girlfriend
trip.
Be like, worried.
He's the only man that has designed ballroom into the underpants.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either, but that was good. He said balls. It was funny.
We're all 12 here.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my by far the best trip. And it was also because I had Sandor there. I had my other buddy Nick and his girlfriend, and it was just like really awesome to share that experience because it was pretty much the first time any of us have been to New York. So it was It was fun to share that experience with everybody that I love.
Yeah, New York's a great town.
What about you, Jeffrey?
Mine, I think the trip we mentioned earlier, going to Italy last summer, was fantastic. Spending 3 weeks on the west coast of Italy. Lauren's parents rented a villa on the Arno River for a month. And so we just used Florence as the home base and traveled out all over Italy.
So can Lauren's parents take pity on me again after hearing this podcast? And then, like,
I'm just
that
happy.
Could be my Easter basket. They I'm can just send yeah, me that somewhere. Can
be, I'm just happy that all my asshole statements are forgiven because Jeff just made the largest
just blew him out of the water.
The entire podcast. Like, you guys are giving me shit, but he's like,
I know it's an asshole statement. I don't care what it sounds like. It was a fantastic trip.
They rented
and the
villa.
The best trip I've ever been.
Yeah, we rented a villa on the river, and it was lovely.
We didn't do anything. This guy didn't do anything.
We had our private.
I went.
We had a private gelato maker, and I was just like, limoncello.
Pretty much. Actually, the gelato maker that was around the corner became fast friends of the family because we were there every night. And it's just good food, cool things to look at. If Florence is amazing.
I don't know if you've ever had olive oil capriola gelato, but it's to die for.
But see, you know what? I believe that you have had that, Jeremy.
Yeah, see, I couldn't pull that off, but so, Jeremy, I believe that from.
You're trying to be douchey, but it turns out that you actually have had it.
He's just saying real experiences in a douchey voice, trying to play it off.
I'm pretty sure he's about to spit out his beer right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a reason he's not talking back.
Did you bring back any beer?
I brought back three German beers.
No Icelandic stuff?
I didn't bring back any Icelandic. I brought back Icelandic gin.
Okay. All
right. And I brought back another gin from the... Okay, hold on.
Here he comes. Oh,
throw wait for it. Voice. Wait for it.
Here comes the douchiest statement of the night. I brought back a gin from the Black Forest of Germany that is only distilled once a year using wild slowberries picked from the Black Forest.
Wow, that just got douchier and douchier. I kept thinking the douchiness was going to end, and it just kept going.
Like, you cannot
it, like,
make
fold
that
it
up.
On itself.
No, it's true. I don't know if you guys
even have... if you tried to come up with that, it wouldn't have happened in such way.
No, and it's so true because I made my girlfriend walk 40 minutes to a specific liquor store in Switzerland so I could buy that gin.
Oh,
I'm a shitty person.
What a pompous asshole. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Wow.
See, guys,
I can't wait to listen to this episode just so I can
hear
that
sentence
again. I just
want this to be
a
lesson to you. So this is what happens when you ask questions.
You get douchey statements.
We get douche.
You get actually interesting information. It's like Jeremy.
There was nothing interesting about that. You,
Naveed,
that was the douchiest thing.
Okay, no, I'm
don't.
I'm, no,
Naveed,
no,
he's
going to
tell you all about
I'm
it.
I'm
going
to be a douche, yeah. Naveed, because this warrants douchiness. I don't know if there's gin drinkers who are listening, but if you are a gin drinker and you're listening, let Papa
it's already
let
started.
Jeremy talk to you. If you haven't tried Monkey 47 from the Schwarzwald in Deutschland, you should, because it's the greatest gin that has ever been created. And if you are a fan of the Monkey 47, so-called because it uses 47 distinct herbs and botanicals to give it its exotic and wonderful profile, then call me, text me, because I do have the limited edition distiller's cut Monkey 47 slow gin. As I previously stated, using hand-picked wild slow berries from the Black Forest of Germany. I will not be sharing
that with... That was all just one monotonous drone.
I will not
be
sharing this amazing gin with Naveed or Jeff, because as men of poorer palates, they could not appreciate the exotic and wonderful aromas and flavor profiles that this gin
offers.
That's
the Jeremy we love.
So on that note, we're gonna wrap this up, and we're gonna let Jeremy put his gin boner away, and he can just reminisce about his fucking douchey travels.
I want to read you like Phil had.
Well, that was just straight up technical issues. And for those that are wondering,
I love Phil.
We
that
just released
Japanese samurai bastard. He's not.
I know we.
Tell me he's not what? Japanese. Tell me he's
not
he's
Japanese.
He's lying Pinoy. To everybody. He's lying to everybody. That man is a culmination of Japanese culture and history in one single person. He's got like the Fu Manchu with the samurai beard. Like, I just want him to be my sensei in a weird way.
Now you're just being racist.
It got pretty racist, pretty fast. Right
post
there.
A picture of Phil on online media and ask.
We posted one
do
today.
Do you want him to?
We posted one last
post,
week.
Do you want him to be your sensei? And I guarantee 80% of our 12 listeners will respond. Fuck yes, I want Phil as my sensei.
Jesus. All right.
Well, but make sure you post
I think I have a
make
picture.
Sure you post it at 9 a.m., 1 p.m., and 9 p.m.
There are certain times to post. Yeah. Anyways.
Sorry.
Since we are doing social media. Shut the fuck up. Since we're doing the social media shout out, it is at Bromuda Tripod on the IGs, on the tweeters. Jeff, what are you?
I'm at G-Duke, G-D-U-Q.
Duke. Jeremy?
Dookie was a great album by Green Day.
What's your
Jeremy? What's your
what's
handle?
Your handle?
At J Guns GUNDS PM me if you're into that gin game.
And I am at No Standards, so feel free to join the debauchery.
I think next week we are going to go into the fitness challenge. We're going to set up the rules this week and get that started next week. Now that Jeremy's back, that's what the whole holdup has been.
I've been working out every day since I got back to prepare for this.
I got to say, ever since I found out about Turks and Caicos, I started the diet early, and in 3 days I've dropped 8 pounds. So
Totally shows.
I've got a lot to lose, though. So
I haven't done anything, so we're good.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's do this again next week.
Right. We shall.
I'm going to hit.
And for those that were wondering, we had some technical difficulties last week. That's why the podcast came out really late. And that's why this one is right on the heels of the other one. So forgive us for that. But it's a bonus for you guys.
Well,
I'm not done yet because we're only at an hour and ten,
and we're out of here.
The best part is I'm editing this, so it is cut off.
We're only at an hour and 10 minutes, and I just want to say when you guys had guest hosts, you easily clocked 115, 120, and I mean I'm a little bit offended that on my first week back you're trying to cut this shit short.
We also had a better conversation.
Well, it's true. It's true. But you know what? You also kind of involve you guys also talked to each other. You didn't just let someone
we knew that you had about 3 weeks of pent up Jeremy talking
about
himself.
Well, maybe if I would have read the outline, it would have said Jeremy be prepared for an hour long monologue. But I didn't read it.
That's exactly what the first segment says.
It does say Jeremy talk
it
about
says
yourself.
almost word for word, be prepared to talk.
Well, I so, did my best. I did my best.
You did exactly that.
My best isn't very good.
No, you're fine.
But
you rambled, but it was good rambling.
Yeah,
we got a lot of details in that trip,
and we lost a lot of followers.
You got pretty
well. You can't say we lost a lot of followers because you have to a lot of followers.
The most mundane, worst details of my trip. Like, my trip was awesome, but no one's gonna believe me.
You're really trying to go for that 115 mark, aren't you?
Oh, I'm gonna hit it. Don't you worry. Even if I just look at this. Look at this. I prepared for 115. I've got a half a beer left. And we're talking.
That just means you were talking way too much and
you're
drinking.
You're editing this later?
I saw multiple times you held that to your mouth and then just continued to talk.
You're editing this, so here, you can edit these points in as you see fit. Ready? So, random thought I had while I was on vacation. Because, you know how, like, Americans are always like, wow, there's Chinese tourists everywhere? And it's kind of true, because, like, you would think you'd go to a remote country like Iceland and there wouldn't be Chinese tourists, but holy fuck, there's Chinese tourists. But it dawned on me, do Chinese tourists, like, wherever they go, just kind of be like, holy fuck, there's American tourists everywhere? Because you kind of have to see each other to have these thoughts. Just putting that out there. So, like,
Fair enough.
That was one thing kind of dawned on me. Like, wherever you go in the world, there are Chinese or Japanese tourists. Fit in that stereotype as you see fit. But, like, it made me realize that maybe they have the same equivalent thought about American tourists or Australians, because Australians are fucking everywhere. That's just that. Naveed, that's a people who travel joke. If you don't travel, you don't understand that Australians are everywhere, or Japanese/Chinese, because
I thought they were confined to their own country, so thank you for broadening my horizon.
I'm just letting you know, for people who travel, this is something they think about. But
so there's America, and then there's North Korea. That's the world to me.
That's true. Yes, don't forget about it. No, and
North Korea is not allowed to
leave.
And
the other thing that was interesting to me is America. I came back from, like, I kind of purposely cut myself off from society in a way, and then I came back to an America where Donald Trump is leading in the polls, and
not just leading but smashing.
That's a completely different conversation that we can get into at another time.
That's offensive.
As far as this, we're done here.
We are cutting you off, Jeremy.
We're done.
Not
here.
Of drinking. Finish that beer, but we're done for tonight.
At Bromuda,
we'll see you next
pod.
Week.
Hit us up. We'll see you next week.
30 seconds to go. No, I got 30 seconds to go. I got 30 seconds. It's just going to be me talking like it's been all night. You cannot shut this down. Take those earbuds out. Take those earbuds out. I'm on a roll. I don't even know. Yeah. It's true. Well, no, like, I finally feel like I'm realizing all the cool shit I did on my vacation that I brought none of it up. Like, it's so terrible. Hey, Iceland is cool as shit. Don't talk bad about Iceland. The Keflavik Airport, which is like where you fly into, it's like flying into the most beautiful IKEA you've ever been in. Like, I'm not like, I'm not even kidding. It's gorgeous. It's like, I don't even understand. Like, it makes me feel inadequate because if I'm being honest, my entire apartment is IKEA furniture. Like, I'm a broke ass bitch. And I walked into like this airport and I saw what they could do with IKEA furniture and it made me feel inadequate in my own design decision. Like, an airport should not make you feel like you've made poor life decisions. And that is what Keflavik Airport did for me. I'm just going to let that be known because we're not recording anymore and it's time for confessions. Other cool thing about IKEA. Yeah. Well, thanks guys for asking me fucking inspiring and invigorating questions. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.